Last week, in a talk at Goucher College outside Baltimore, journalist and autobiographer Vivian Gornick stunned a crowd of writing students by her admission that some of the scenes and conversations in her acclaimed 1987 memoir, Fierce Attachments, were made up. Gornick also reportedly said that she'd used composite characters for some of her pieces that ran in the Village Voice during her tenure there from 1969 to 1977. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has some thoughts on why, in the wake of so many other similar revelations, Gornick's confession still shocks.
The plot, by now, is so familiar, it's become its own notorious literary subgenre. A prominent writer of nonfiction, an autobiographer, journalist, historian, confesses to being, or is exposed as being, someone who's played fast and loose with the truth. In this case, the culprit is autobiographer and journalist Vivian Gornick, and her oddly offhand admission came spontaneously to an audience composed partly of journalists and other professional writers pursuing advanced degrees in nonfiction writing. Gornick told them she'd invented some scenes and conversations in her revered memoir, Fierce Attachments. Her readers, Gornick said, were willfully ignorant of this device. Gornick also said that she'd concocted some composite characters for some of her Village Voice pieces. Maybe Gornick thought that in these postmodernist days, where we're all hip to the notion that the word fact should always be written in quotation marks, her audience would be unfazed. But because the crowd was filled with journalists, steeped in the details of the recent Jason Blair debacle at the New York Times, it pounced, reportedly grilling Gornick about ethics in nonfiction. Gornick was taken aback by the response, and a couple of days later, in a phone interview with Salon magazine writer Terry Green Sterling, she denied ever saying that she made up anything in her memoir or used composite characters. I haven't felt this disheartened since historian Doris Kearns Goodwin was accused last year of plagiarism. Or before that, since Benjamin Wilkomirski, author of a childhood Holocaust memoir called Fragments that I reviewed for Fresh Air, turned out to be a fraud who made the whole story up. Any reader who falls in love with a work of nonfiction leaves him or herself open to being betrayed. But I didn't see it coming from Gornick. Her books are mainstays of every course I teach. Sometimes I assign The Romance of American Communism, her moving oral history about the rise and fall of the party, or I'll ask students to read selections from her smart collection of essays, Approaching Eye Level. And I frequently assign Fierce Attachments, her now classic memoir about walking with her aged mother through the streets of New York, reminiscing and arguing about the past. It's a memoir that inspires adjectives like unflinching and honest. It's a memoir that people take to heart. When I did a tribute to books about New York City in the aftermath of September 11th and left Fierce Attachments off the list because I thought it was temporarily out of print, I got emails from listeners, not about the hundreds of other New York books I could have mentioned, but about Fierce Attachments. It hooks you from its very first sentences, in which Gornick recalls the Bronx tenement she grew up in, full of women she describes as shrewd, volatile, unlettered. Gornick writes, "I, the girl growing in their midst, being made in their image, I absorb them as I would chloroform on a cloth laid against my face." Lies don't make an autobiography a lesser work of literature. In the women's autobiography course I teach, we always study the work of Mary McCarthy and Lillian Hellman, each of whom famously accused the other of lying, and both of whom told some world-class whoppers. But what lying does do is damage the relationship between reader and memoirist. Autobiography is a genre that is defined solely by a handshake. There's no internal distinction between an autobiographical novel and an autobiography. Rather, it's the autobiographer's pledge to try to tell the truth that makes a reader respond differently. I say try because, as the theorists rightly point out, autobiography is an impossible genre. Time and literary style inevitably distort memories, and the person writing is not the same person who lives the life. But the autobiographer gives his or her word to try, and we readers give our trust. And when this quaint contract turns out to be a con, we feel like rubes. Gornick is still a wonderful writer, and I'll continue to read and reread her work, but with my guard up. But it's irritating and saddening to hear how casually she's confessed to letting down her end of the bargain.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. I'm Terry Gross.